Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, August 1st. I'm Ala Kuziz. Sumner is the first high school west of the Mississippi River to graduate black students. This year is its 150th anniversary. At a recent celebration, alumni say Sumner is here to stay and will fight to keep it open.
It was just a very rich atmosphere, very rich teachers, and it was just a wonderful experience.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke with alumni about their time at Sumner and what should be done to preserve its legacy. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The state of Missouri once again leads the nation in black homicide victimization rates. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lipman has more on the findings of a report by the Violence Policy Center.
The study uses data from the FBI and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It found that in 2023, black people were killed in the United States at a rate of nearly 27 per 100,000 people. The rate in Missouri was more than twice that, almost 55 per 100,000 people. Josh Sugarman is the center's executive director. He says Missouri's lax gun laws certainly play a role.
It's one of the states that has what's called a firearms preemption. Even if cities or communities across the state want to enact specific laws to protect their citizens, they're not allowed to.
The center has put out the report for almost 20 years. Sugarman says each time Missouri has ranked either first or second. I'm Rachel Lipman, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis will soon resume turning off people's water for not paying their bills 5 years after a water shutoff moratorium was implemented. Residents with past due accounts will be able to apply for financial assistance starting August 20th. Nuraj Patel is the director of public utilities for the city of St. Louis.
We don't charge late fees. The moratorium was instituted in 2020, so it's going to take a long time for some of these residents that have fallen far behind to get back on track.
More than 13,000 residential accounts are past due, and there are $12.6 million in overdue funds. Patel says customers will be able to set up a long-term payment plan when the moratorium lifts on September 1st. Dozens of St. Louis residents slammed the city during a city hall meeting Wednesday night for being slow to provide financial assistance to tornado victims. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley reports St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says she understands their concerns.
City leaders say $18 million in accrued interest from the RAMS fund will mostly go toward disaster care management, nonprofits, and disaster hub operations. Spencer says people who have been denied aid by the Federal Emergency Management Agency should try again.
We need to make sure that everybody who can and they feel hope and they feel like it's worthwhile to go back. Because while it's not making people whole, it's millions of dollars we're leaving on the table if we don't do that as a community.
14,000 people have applied for assistance from FEMA so far, and only 7,000 have been approved. Spencer says FEMA can't help where the city already has programs in place, so it's critical to take advantage of the federal dollars now. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
A Francis Howell school board member brought on a consultant to review its library materials for age-inappropriate content without proper approval from district leadership. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed has this report.
In an email sent to a conservative consultant named Jordan Adams, former Superintendent Kenneth Rumpos said the district would pay his invoice of $3,000 for the unauthorized work. The email was obtained by St. Louis Public Radio. Adams identified a list of books that he flagged for possible age-inappropriate content. The decision to work with Adams was made by Jane Pushkar, a conservative member of the school board. Her proposal to work with Adams was not approved by the school board nor the district, according to the email. The district adopted a policy last year that parents could challenge any books they saw as inappropriate for students. The school board and district officials declined to comment. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Peer support services are where someone who has struggled with addiction helps those in active recovery. They've become common in hospitals and other substance abuse recovery spaces. However, Lean STL is one of the first organizations to provide the service specifically to construction workers. James Purcell is a peer support specialist with Lean.
it's really pioneering, mm-hmm. right? Because we are a rough and tumble bunch that needs to know that, hey, you know, we struggle with things, and we all do.
Construction workers have nearly twice the rate of substance abuse as the national average, and the rate of suicide for men working in construction is about 4 times higher than the general population. Since its founding in 2023, Lean STL has received over 4,000 texts and 3,000 phone calls to its hotline. Sumner High School is celebrating its 150th anniversary, attracting more than 1,000 people to mark the occasion. It's the first high school west of the Mississippi River to graduate African American students. Most people know it for developing icons such as Tina Turner, Chuck Berry, and Arthur Ashe. Over the years, it dealt with low enrollment and potential closures. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, alumni say Sumner is here to stay.
Women and men representing the classes of 1939 to 2025 gathered to show their pride for Sumner High School. They were hugging, laughing, and kissing while standing in front of a massive Sumner Bulldogs sign for photo ops. Maroon and white were the colors of the night. Some of the ladies wore sequin dresses with maroon painted fingernails. The men fashionably styled in similar colored tuxedos and suits. They all reminisced about their time at Sumner High School while celebrating at the Hyatt Regency in downtown St. Louis. Pierre Blaine graduated in 1973. The retired educator played basketball and was in the school band.
It was just a very rich atmosphere, very rich teachers. And it was just a wonderful experience.
Blaine says Sumner teachers prepared him for the future. They taught him about African American history, how to advocate for himself, and gave him a personal relationship with jazz and classical music. Class of 1972 graduate E.W. Clay says Sumner offered Black students a unique experience.
A lot of our teachers had advanced degrees, but they were prohibited from teaching at some of the schools that they graduated from because of their skin color. So they had to come to Sumner and teach below what their training was, but they still delivered that advanced training to the students.
The former public policy administrator came to connect with alumni who want to keep the historic school open.
You get to see African American people in their excellence and in their splendor. That's what young people, especially young people of color, they need to see that.
Charles Sumner High School opened in 1875 at 11th and Spruce Streets. It was the first high school west of the Mississippi River for Black students. The St. Louis Board of Education moved the school to the former Bustlingville neighborhood in 1910. Over the years, students excelled in academics, sports, and the arts. Alumni say the school's legacy is more than just the celebrities who graduated from the school. 1980 graduate Warris Blackman Davis say it's the everyday people who have contributed to their lives and society that makes the school great.
I had a history teacher. His name was Mr. Blaylock. He would walk around the classroom and he's just doing all these historical milestones. His eyes would be closed. I said, he's got stuff written in his eyelids or something because he never had the book. And I'm thinking, well, I want to be like that.
Although the occasion was a joyous one, some alumni say it might be the last anniversary celebration. They fear Sumner might get shuttered. In May, an EF3 tornado significantly damaged its roof. Students will attend another school in the district this fall. Over the years, the school faced closure due to low enrollment. But in 2021, the board voted to save it by implementing an arts program. Recent graduate Dakota Scott credits that for her academic success.
While I was in Sumner, I was included in a lot of stuff like drama, where we made movies, musical theater, where we did plays, fashion, where I was a model and had designed a few things.
Earlier this summer, district officials announced they are not closing Sumner permanently, but preparing to restore it. Scott is concerned about other potential school closures, but is optimistic about Sumner's future.
I hope that not only do they not close my school down, because we are currently thriving, but I hope that with the fundings that they're allegedly supposed to get from closing these schools down, that they will actually give us better quality education.
I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Tracy Tong edited that story. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Ala Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.